Now to Jamaica and a cascade of events that have erupted inside that country. Sunday, the Jamaican government announced that Christopher Dudas Koch, the alleged leader of the Shower Posse, would be extradited to the U.S. on drug charges. Soon after that decision, Jamaica's capital, Kingston, became a hotbed of violence between police and gangs, 49 dead at least, 500 in custody. Koch, the man being searched for, who is at large at this hour, has allegedly run a drug empire for over a decade, smuggling tens of millions of dollars of cocaine and marijuana to the U.S. and other places. So why does the U.S. want this man so badly? Joining us is Dan Murphy, writer for the Christian Science Monitor. He's in Boston this morning. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning. How are you?
Give us a sense of who this character is. And in the reporting that we've already done on this, he's not wanted in Jamaica, even though he is wanted in the United States.
Well, he was protected by Jamaica for the better part of the past year against extradition to the U.S. The Prime Minister, Bruce Golding, had argued that illegal wiretaps had been used on Mr. Dudas's alleged criminal activities in the U.S., which are said to be essentially drugs, cocaine, crack, and marijuana. The Shower Posse has been around for a very long time, and in the 80s was very big in New York, was very big in Jamaica, and was considered to be one of the most violent of the Jamaican gangs that really emerged in that era. And people said, you know, hundreds of murders were attributed to them. That was before Dudas, Mr. Koch, ran the thing. His father ran it in the late 80s. He died in the Jamaican prison cell awaiting extradition to the U.S. in 1992. What happened in this instance is Prime Minister Golding was caught essentially paying for a lobbyist to go to Washington and ask for Dudas not to be extradited. That became a minor scandal at home. He put his hands up and said, okay, we will extradite him when that came public. And now he's reaping the whirlwind a little bit.
Well, you know, a minor scandal has become a major scandal. I mean, the opposition is calling for a vote of no confidence. There are all sorts of charges of, doing the bidding of the U.S. government. This certainly weakens Prime Minister Golding. Where does that leave us?
It's unclear. The simple fact is that you have two major political parties in Jamaica, the Jamaican Labor Party, which is the ruling party at the moment, and the People's National Party. And they've alternated in power for, you know, 30 years and longer. And both of them are intricately involved with the dons of which are essentially gang heads of the so-called garrison neighborhoods in Kingston. Back in the 70s, both parties essentially built neighborhoods for gunmen that they could rely on to deliver votes at election times. Those gunmen then got involved in all sorts of protection rackets and drug rackets, and eventually grew incredibly powerful, so powerful the politicians don't really control them so much anymore, as they live in an uneasy coexistence.
Well, let's get a view from actually Kingston on that sort of political cozy relationship, as you say, with the gangs on the ground. We're speaking with Dan Murphy, writer for the Christian Science Monitor. Stay on the line, Dan. Karen Madden-James joins us once again. She's in Jamaica for the BBC, also works for Jamaican Radio. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning.
So, first of all, Dan Murphy has just described that really the actions of Prime Minister Golding here push back on what has been a long-standing relationship between gangs and militias and politics in Jamaica. Is that your view?
Yes, well, Dan has pretty much encapsulated what the situation is. As he said, both sides of the political fence have this unhealthy relationship with the so-called gangsters, people who they have relied on to fund them financially and also to ensure that they get the popular vote. What has happened now, as Dan said, is that these people have got so powerful that they don't really need them anymore. And the people in the communities are now turning to these people for their protection,
wow,
for their meal, so to speak, for their daily bread.
Well, Karen, let me get your assessment of this, and then we'll go back to Dan. You're a regional observer of politics in the Caribbean and certainly in Latin America. Is this like what the Mexican government has done, push back on the drug lords and unleashed a huge epidemic of political insecurity, the outcome of which is really unknown? Is that what we're seeing here in Jamaica, Karen?
Well, I'm not really an expert on what the Mexican situation is, but to the extent that we now have a situation where the gangs are now so powerful that the government cannot control them, to that extent, to the extent where an extradition request took 9 months or any action to see any action because of the fear of how powerful this man is and the influence that he has on the community, and that was manifested when the sure. security forces went to execute the warrant and we see what happened.
What's the level of the violence today, Karen?
Well, it has tapered off a lot since Monday when the security forces stormed Tivoli Gardens. We now have sporadic outbreaks of gunfire, but to a large extent, the security forces now have the situation under control. Armed forces still in the community, but no active engagement largely.
It's Karen Madden-James in Jamaica for the BBC, also working for Jamaican Radio. Dan Murphy for the Christian Science Monitor. What do you make of this idea? Has the sort of Calderon scenario in Mexico been unleashed in Jamaica, and political instability for the near term is what we can look forward to here?
If I had to guess, I'd say no. I mean, in the near term, yeah, there's going to be more trouble, but there have been outbreaks of violence in places like Tivoli Gardens every 5, 7, 8 years. When the government tries to whack back the power of a local don. Look, it's been an incredibly violent place for a long time. Kingston's one of the murder capitals of the world, so it ain't paradise. But I don't think it's going to be as bad as some of those border towns in Mexico.
All right, thanks so much. Dan Murphy, writer for the Christian Science Monitor. Karen Madden-James, before we go, where is Christopher Dudas Koch?
No one knows, or who knows? I'm certainly not saying at this time. The security forces say they are still looking for him. It is still felt that he's in the country, so they continue their search.
All right, Karen Madden-James in Jamaica for the BBC, also working for Jamaican Radio, talking about the search for Christopher Dudas Koch, the alleged leader of the Shower Posse, who is being extradited, or the Jamaican government is trying to extradite him to the U.S. on drug charges.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science. Neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing. Or
politics.
Country music.
Hockey.
Sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.